I was liking what you were saying there.
Korea.
And then you said Tito Ortiz, and I'm not sure.
Oh, look at me now. I'm fucking a lampshade. Yeah. That's not how I want my big sex. I'm Triton. Tramps down. Think- just like a mold me on. Honor to her.
Nobody's ass getting pumped.
They fired his ass for being a dick.
You hate referees, and they're all scum and pieces of shit, right?
Well, why are we putting the cameraman in riot gear?
In our day, right, things were a little bit different. We were a tough guy nation. The do-do-do-do-do basketball. Ball scores the points and three-pointers. Now!
The tramp stamp. I couldn't get my eyes off of the damn thing.
Can I just get one guy versus one guy? That's wrestling hole.
Set of tits coming at you like that.
You would think one of these idiots would just race through the door.
Man, if it makes sure that Shocker doesn't win, you can throw me out of my next Delta flight. Stop smearing shit all over your body, jackass. I might have enjoyed the dying days to ACW more. No, I'm just thinking of how fucking stupid this all is. Stop adding bullshit to it. This sucks. The lazy bitch. Wildcat Chris Harris finally gets involved in the match. I thought, right, he would have escaped this type of stuff. We haven't. Just do it and I'll blow. Yeah, I'm ready to go fuck somebody up.
Get
ready for fucking.
On the head! Bring your ass back here! Like, I don't know if it's Sunday's best or if it's a, I'm going for a porn audition shirt.
This does not please me. The ass bandit, Double J. I'm getting no pleasure. It's not even moving at this point.
We're sticking with the plan, even though it looks like shit.
All in all, super disappointing pay-per-view.
In association with the Shining Wizards Network, Gorilla Brain Wrestling Podcast presents...
Fear of Duke and Rogue. I'm your host, Duke Bags.
That's Kevin.
And today we are going to cover TNA Lockdown 2005.
Before you jump in, you like this concept?
Every match in a cage?
Yeah.
Yes.
On paper, right? It sounds great.
It does.
Every match, cage match. But they don't really adhere to that. Every match is strictly a cage match in this one. I took issue with that.
Yeah, their match is taking place inside of a cage sometimes.
Yeah.
Nothing really, we'll get into it, but, you know,
yeah.
Very minimal as far as traditional cage stuff goes, you know. Because, yeah,
right.
Like you said, every cage match, or every match on the card being a cage match, sounds kick-ass.
It does. It does. It forces the, you know, the producers and the talent to get a little bit more creative in what they're able to do inside the cage. All that kind of stuff. But here it just seems like they took the cage match format and tossed it out the window, so...
You think maybe they got too creative?
You know, that is a problem from time to time. You get too creative, right? You get a little too creative in the bedroom. You're like, oh, look at me now. I'm fucking a lampshade. Yeah. Do me with the drapes, toots.
Sometimes you hit, sometimes you miss.
Right, yeah. I get it.
Yeah, we'll see how they do here. This son of a bitch took place. Live from the Impact Zone on April 24, 2005. And this is the first time that this has been the case where every match has been in a cage. So it'll be an interesting card.
Yeah.
So we get a gal reciting some nursery rhymes in the opening package.
Yeah. It was a spooky package, right? So, ooh, spooky package. And the guy with the voice, man, is a lady.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it. It doesn't bother me as long as they got a good voice for the open. But it being spooky kind of threw me off because I didn't think that Lockdown would be like a spooky vibe. And then the having the guy with the voice man be a lady with the voice man was, I mean, it's fine. She had a good spooky voice, but I just don't know. Right here's the spot for spooky. It was singing "Ring Around the Rosie," you know, pocket full of posy, all that bullshit. Fine enough with it, I guess.
Well, today welcomes us, so maybe this will shed some light. He tells us that all the doors in the Impact Zone have been locked down, so we're led to believe that everybody in there is locked in. So that's supposed to create some sort of a, spooky kind of
right feel,
I think. But I find it hard to believe that if you had an emergency, right, they wouldn't let you leave the Impact Zone.
I was going to say, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I think Mike TNA led you astray. You can't keep everybody locked inside the building because there's fucking fire codes, Mike. Fucking fire codes.
Well, Don West, he's rocking the silky black with the black and white tie. Right away, this is strange. Because we get sent to the back, right? We got Big Sexy. And he removes a bandage to reveal the site of a staph infection.
Yeah.
So is this creativity gone too far, you think?
No, this is just a bad call. Like, I don't want to see Big Sex crying like a little bitch, right? That's not how I want my Big Sex. I want my Big Sex to be a man, right? He wants the desire in the woman's eyes, fear in the man's eyes. That's so how I want my Big Sex. Yeah. And then they cut to him in the back. He's crying like a little bitch. And he like slowly pulls up the Band-Aid to show this gross shit. Like, I don't want to see that gross shit. Did you want to see that?
No.
Infections are not optically pleasing. And it's a bad move to put it to open the show, too. That's like we'll send you back to Kevin Nash where he's crying like a little bitch looking at his infection. Unnecessary.
It's not the time and place for a staph infection reveal, but they tell us that because of this infection, he's not going to be able to participate in the Team Jared versus Team Nash lethal lockdown contest later. So I guess they had to do something.
To make it like, oh, it's legitimate. He's definitely not going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean,
it's a stupid little video.
They're at Universal Studios. That could have been a fucking, that could have been a makeup artist, right?
Could have been. Could probably. I didn't think enough of it to do a deep dive, but, you know, I wouldn't put it past Big Sex to fake a staph infection. There was a pre-show. There was a three-way tag team match. Three Live Crew defeated David Young, Lex Lovett, and the Naturals. So you mentioned prior to the episode here, we don't get the Cohen Zone. We don't get the Road Dogg
right in
their bit.
Yeah.
You're going to miss that, you think?
I think I'll be fine with it.
All right.
I think I'll be okay. I don't think I'll miss it that much. I mean, how much can you miss, like, you know, Arriva Belazzers? Where my dog's at?
Welcome to the doghouse.
Yeah, it's almost refreshing not to have it for a show.
Opening up this one, we got Apollo and your guy Siaki taking on another one of your guys, Chris Candido and Lance Hoyt.
Yeah.
So there's trouble all over this one.
Well, we should mention Kid Cash, your new pick for number one guy of the year.
Yeah, where's he at?
He's fucking fired.
Oh, man, they fired him?
They fired his ass for being a dick.
Is that a shoot firing, or are we going to
see him get his revenge later? That's the real deal, man. They fired his ass. I guess he's a prick, so they fired him.
He probably didn't put up a big enough body of work to qualify for Guy of the Year, so he's out of contention. Petey's still in the mix.
No, he's not Guy of the Year.
Yeah, like I said, there's bad all over this match. There's some good action, but this was originally going to be a singles match between Lance and Apollo, but it was switched for no apparent reason.
I bet Candido wishes they would have stuck with it.
Like I said, that's wrong thing number one. Wrong thing number two. Well, let's just get into the action, okay?
Wait. Don't get right into the action. I have a very important thing that I wrote down that I wanted to ask you. Apollo and Siaki, they come down to the ring.
Sure.
Were you listening to their entrance music?
I don't have a note on it.
Okay.
What did we get?
I was trying to figure out if that was Santana, and I don't know the Santana catalog. I kind of figured you probably would know it a little bit better than I do. But I was like, man, coming down to the ring to Santana is not a very ballsy move. Right? That does not strike fear into the hearts of your opponent. You can't be like, all right, I'm ready to kick some ass. Oh, just like motion, honor to her.
Like, that doesn't get you pumped up?
That doesn't kick anybody's ass. What was his other hit? I don't even remember.
He did the Oye Como Va.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't make anybody sense. Like, yeah, I'm ready to go fuck somebody up. Oh, my God. Felice jacket in my cousin's closet. Aunt Margaret. That doesn't get anybody's ass pumped.
Nobody's ass is getting pumped for that one.
No. Oh, yeah.
Man, I got to ask you here.
Yeah.
You like this tandem or you like the Body Donnas better? We got to highlight Candido a little bit here while we can.
Yeah, so I'll take the Body Donnas and then I'll take the Heavenly Bodies.
Oh, okay.
You know, I see what I did there?
I see what you did there.
Yeah, see Dr. Tom, right?
Right away in this thing, there's a referee in there. One, yep. Okay. Two, there's a camera guy in there. Three, they're having tags.
The cameraman's got a fucking full... He has got goddamn riot gear on. Why are we putting the cameraman in riot gear? He's got a damn helmet. He's got like a... I don't know whatever that chest protector is on that he's called. He's dressed like he's going to stop the war.
So right away, I'm... kind of set it back with the whole they're having tags, but we'll see how it goes. TNA, he says there's not going to be any action on the outside of the ring. In theory, okay, whatever, it's lockdown, but we'll see that that's not the case as the right. Show goes on. So there's very little space between the ropes and the cage. So
yeah,
it looks
not a lot
real
of...
awkward with the guy on the apron.
Right, and there shouldn't be. Like you, like last episode, you were saying how much you hate referees and they're all scum and pieces of shit, right?
Right.
And like, if everything's in a cage, you don't need any referees in the cage. Escape.
Right.
Right. I mean, I don't know when it changed, right? Because I just, in my mind, I always remember, like, in the cage, it's you escape, right? That's how you win. You'll incapacitate your opponent enough to escape. And now they're not only implementing an official in the cage, which has kind of just come to be accepted, which that's not the wrestling that I remember, you know, when, you know, in our day, right? Things were a little bit different. We were a tough guy nation.
Right.
And but now, like, not only have they got the official in there, but they're making tags. Like, a tag cage match has got to be tornado, right? It's got to be tornado rules.
It's got to be. Well, the action starts off, and it doesn't take too long before Chris Candido gets taken out, and he's hurt pretty bad. So Apollo goes for a pin.
Yeah.
And it looks like, kind of looks like he got a three on him, but, you know, Candido. So this is another bad thing about this match. So Candido, TNA informs us, has been running an angle lately where he's been faking injuries.
Oh, jeez.
This looks really bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
He broke his leg is what happened.
It was a gnarly break, man. It was a gnarly break. And he, you know, I suppose in the moment, like, Siaki maybe doesn't know what's going on. Because I think it was Siaki in the ring. Was it Siaki or was it Apollo? No, it doesn't matter. Right. The guy should have, you know, just backed off. Right? Just backed off. Shit's gone awry. Maybe he didn't hear Candido. Maybe Candido didn't say anything. I mean, any amount of things could have happened. But then he goes for the cover. Don't go for the cover. The man's got a broken leg. His leg's toast. It was gnarly. And then Candido kind of goes over and tags Hoyt in. It was a strange exchange. And part of me wishes the match would have just ended there.
Yeah, part of me was thinking that maybe... that was the deal with that cover on him. It was like, let's just get the three, get it done with, if they communicated or whatever. But
right.
Anyway, so they end up raising up the cage to get...
oh, they don't raise it up. There. He just goes out of the door. They don't have a raising gimmick and a lowering gimmick. They just have a door.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they don't have that production value.
We got fans yelling, shut the door. So, I mean, they got the overhead camera, which is good.
So it is a nice look. You're right.
What do you think about the camera guy in the ring? Do we got to have a guy in the ring?
I don't think so. Like, they cut those little holes out in the cage so the cameraman could, like, place his camera accordingly.
Right.
So get the cameraman out of the ring.
So Hoyt lands a surprising moonsault. Gets a two.
Yeah, and Don West calls it a backwards moonsault. You got Mike TNA sitting right next to you, and he knows every hold that's ever been performed in the history of everything. I mean, back Abe Lincoln, he knows Abe Lincoln's finishing hold. He doesn't always hit the hit on the right fucking move, but he knows
a bear hug.
Right, and then you know it. I thought it was going to be the honest abdominal stretch.
That's not bad.
Anyways, yeah, you know, it's not my best work, but it'll work.
The Lincoln leg drop. Man, this came up last time, but I couldn't. And maybe this is actually the point of this gimmick, the tramp stamp. I couldn't get my eyes off of the damn thing. Major distraction.
Yeah.
I think he's the first guy I've seen with the tramp stamp.
We saw Triton had one last time around.
Did Triton have one?
Triton had one, yeah. Triton. Tramp stamp.
You think maybe they were fixing to team the two big guys together?
Oh, big guys are fixing to dance.
You know, with their tramp stamps.
It's nice that it plays your new, though. That's always good. Backwards moonsault, that pissed me off. And then Mike TNA. Siaki does a top rope German. And fuck it. I think I realize how TNA makes himself sound smarter than he is. I figured it out.
What's that?
Instead of just calling it a top rope German suplex, he calls it a top rope release overhead German suplex. Right? He just adds more words to it.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, fuck, that guy knows what he's talking about.
It sounds more official.
Right. Like, if Don West would have said that was a backwards moonsault, and Mike TNA went, well, it wasn't a backwards moonsault. It was actually an inverted backwards moonsault, which would have meant it was a regular moonsault. People would have been like, oh, got it. That makes sense.
That's a cheat code right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That reminds me, so I did a show yesterday with my Ramones tribute band. We got a banner we put behind us.
Yeah.
And I was watching some footage, doing a little homework, and the Ramones had just this obscenely huge banner behind them.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to the bass guy, the guy who got our banner. I'm like, we need a bigger banner. It's a simple little cheat code like that will make you seem like a bigger deal than you are.
Right.
You know? And I think I don't really want to doubt Tanay's credentials because he always sounds like he knows what he's talking about, but I think
he does.
I think you're right with that.
I probably cracked the code.
So we get the big fella. He goes to the well too many times with the eye poke. He really likes that eye poke.
It's a good move.
And he gets caught in a TKO type slam and a big splash by Siaki, and the team of Apollo and Siaki are victorious. The Naturals come out and they're pissed at Lance for losing. So they beat him up and throw him into the cage, takes a headbutt to the junk, but he keeps coming back. And then the Naturals hit the Natural Disaster, another sweet signature tag move, puts out the big fella. I mean, talk about adding insult to injury. He loses the match and then he gets the shit beat out of him.
Yeah, I mean, he loses his partner.
Right.
Then he loses the match and then he gets the shit beat out of him. I mean, when it became two-on-one affair, I mean, just beat the shit out of him and get the day over with already. Or if you want to supersize Hoyt, let Hoyt fucking beat them both, right? Make him seem fucking unbelievable, right? Call an audible. Right. Sometimes, you know, shit goes awry. You got to scrap and move. But yeah, this was a toss for me.
We're told that Candido broke his leg. And he will die 3 days later. So, moment of silence for Chris Candido.
Yeah, absolutely. Moment of silence.
So, yeah, the injury from this match actually led to his death. What a sad deal.
The injury from the match led to his death?
I believe so.
Really? Broken leg and he died from it? That can't be right.
You saw the Tammy and Chris behind the ring, right?
Oh, the dark side?
Or dark side of the ring, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was his commitment to the bit, the whole, you know, I'm a professional wrestler, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make it, ended up mm-hmm. being his downfall because he got on a plane immediately after that. And apparently, you're not supposed to do that.
Oh,
so like something happened in the altitude. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he ended up getting real sick. And like I said, passed away 3 days after this event.
Jeez. Gotcha.
Yeah, shitty deal. We miss him. He was one of the good ones, for sure.
Yeah, he was.
On with the show. We get sent back to Dusty's in the back with the bimbos. Talks about America's Most Wanted, Team Canada. So it's going to be a strap match. And he does a drawing to see who the first guy in the Lethal Lockdown is going to be. We're going to have Double J and Sean Waltman starting it off. So the thing I made a note about this segment was the tune playing in the background really reminded me of the NBA on NBC theme by John Tesh.
Yeah, they did the do-do-do-do-do, basketball, give me a ball, score some points, three-pointers, now!
Yeah. That's a classic. And then we get a package highlighting the feud between Dustin and Team Canada. He says that a Canadian's never beaten a Texan. That's a pretty lofty claim.
Yeah, very lofty claim.
Bobby Roode, he's really been putting the hurt on Dust in recent weeks, and we're going to have a Prince of Darkness death match.
So I didn't know what the fuck that meant, and then when Tanay was like, they're going to be caged, and possibly even blindfolded, I was like, I'm confused. Like, I'm lost already. Why caged and, like, is it a blindfold match? It just says Prince of Darkness match. He's like, oh, no. Cage, he doesn't say, like, this next match, and he explained the rules. He just says, they're going to be cage and possibly even blindfolded. Why possibly even blindfolded? That's another one of those situations. He adds more words. It doesn't need to be. He just said possibly blindfolded.
So they complicated this match a little too much.
Yeah, no shit.
Is there let me ask you this. This is a 2 out of 3 falls match, and if they make it to the third fall, then they're blindfolded.
Right.
We're obviously getting to a third fall. What would you do to make this make more sense? Can you think of a change? I mean, do you start it off like Roberts and Martel at WrestleMania?
No, I mean, so I guess to try, I wouldn't make it 2 out of 3 falls. Right, it, clearly, like if you dangle the carrot like that, you know it's going to 3 falls. It's obvious, right?
Right.
So, I don't know. I guess you could make it, and it's still fucking, it's still a shitty idea. But if you're gonna go, you know, multiple falls in a Prince of Darkness match, you could go a Prince of Darkness match. But you would do that being like the second fall. You know what I mean? So like say Dust right. gets the first fall. It's going to be a Prince of Darkness match for the second fall. And then, you know, if it needs to go to a third fall, then we'll go back to regular stipulations. Or if Bobby Roode gets the first fall. Was it? Wait. Yeah, Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode gets the first fall. Then maybe he, you know, it's a Canadian maple leaf syrup up your ass match for the second one. You know,
maybe
just something.
You escape the cage because they're still
right.
in the cage.
Yeah, that'd be a blindfolded escape the cage match. That's something. No, it's I don't know. I think it's too messy to begin with to try right. and like to be able to fix it. You'd have to add shit, which would make it messier. And this match kind of sucked dong anyways. So,
well, DeBoer's out there to, you know, he's got Alistair. They're out to support Bobby Roode. As usual, they shouldn't even be allowed out there. Come on, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. They shouldn't be allowed. Well, no. If they're in a cage, that's fine. They should be allowed out there.
Anything goes?
Well, I mean, the two competitors are, remember, they're caged. This is lockdown. They're locked in the cage. So who gives a shit what's going on the outside?
I suppose. Well, the first two falls, at least they happen kind of relatively quick. I mean, Dustin, he does a series of blows early on, does the big bionic elbow tribute to his daddy before grabbing his junk before the last blow. Nice touch. So Dustin, yeah, he takes the early fall when Bobby Roode rolls him up and gets his legs on the ropes and the cage for leverage. And then Dust is to Shattered Dreams. big time superplex. Yeah, it's at this time that TNA explains to us that they're going to be wearing hoods if it goes to a third fall.
Right. So they took their time. That was like a by the way. But that's like a giant by the way. Right? That'd be like your gal going, oh, and by the way, I'm going to be out of the country for the next 6 months. Like, that's a huge by the way. You'll want to know that in advance.
And Dust does land a nice slingshot catapult that sends Rude into the cage. And we're led to believe that because there's six sides instead of four, it's a stronger structure.
Yeah, that's what they say.
I'm not sure if that's accurate or not. I'm not in the engineering field.
Well, we know a guy that is, but I gotta believe that it's true, because the less length of the chain length, the firmer it's going to be, right? The tighter it's going to be from post to post.
That would make sense.
That would make sense, yeah. Did you see the way that the load was shaking the cage?
What was he doing?
Oh, he was losing his motherfucking mind. It was awesome. He was screaming, and he grabbed a hold of the cage, and he was shaking it like the Ultimate Warrior. It was awesome. It might have been the best part of the match for me. It was so good. Like, they just cut to him, and I don't know if you just got way too into it, but he went warrior on that cage, man. The load was losing his shit. It was perfect.
Well, Dust goes for that bulldog, which he's adopted as his finisher. He gets denied. It's a low blow. This is, man, he's really going for it here. That's three low blows so far for Dustin. And he goes for it again, and then he gets sent for the ride. Bobby Roode comes back with a vengeance, and he wants to finish this thing before they get the hoods out. Nice sell job today. TNA, he really emphasizes that it's standing room only in the Impact Zone at every show. It holds less than 1,000.
Right. TNA. And there's clearly chairs when they cut to the announce desk, and you can see all the people sitting the fuck down behind them.
This would work if, you know, if maybe they had like TNA radio. Right.
I was going to say Mike TNA would be perfect for radio.
Yeah, he could really sell something that that isn't necessarily there.
That's a good idea.
But Bobby Roode, he gets thrown to the cage door and almost knocked it open. Dustin goes for that curtain call again, can't connect. And Bobby Roode hits the Northern Lights lariat, close to. Because Dustin grabs the bottom rope. What do you think of that?
I don't like it.
I think I know what you think of it, but
yeah, man, I don't like it
at this point. Why are we enforcing? We're enforcing rules. It's essentially just a regular match,
right?
And there's a cage.
Yeah. Now, hear me out. I love the rules, right?
We've known this
about me, right? I love the rules. But more importantly, like in a cage match, there shouldn't be rope breaks. It's a cage match, right? I just don't like it, man.
They're 0-2 so far. Shouldn't be tags.
Yep.
Shouldn't be rope breaks.
No. So. That's what. Am I wrong about that? Am I wrong? Like, isn't the cage supposed to be two guys getting in the cage? You beat the shit out of the other guy enough so you can walk through the door or climb over the top of the cage, right? I don't know. Timeline me, man. When the hell did they like, oh, no, it's a cage match, but now the official's going to be in there and you can lose it by a pinfall. That's kind of
been a throw-it-in-there stipulation, I think, right?
Yeah.
Didn't Flair win his title against Harley at Starrcade by pinning him inside of the cage?
Oh, man. So, yeah.
It's a thing, you know, where...
I don't like that thing, though.
You don't like it? Yeah.
No.
I'd like to see a standard cage match myself. Get the ref out of there. The ref was nothing but trouble last time. Now he's enforcing rules that don't need to be there.
Right.
Come on, man. But Dustin does even it up with that top rope bulldog, which looked pretty badass from the from that overhead camera they got. Did you notice the in-the-ring camera guy is not in the ring anymore?
Yeah.
That was a good move.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that maybe, like, was the cameraman in the way when Candido took his bump on the dropkick?
You think he might have been responsible?
I think he, you know, I don't know who that guy is, but
he kind of missed the shot, so maybe he was. Right. Yeah.
Candido was trying to, you know, maybe take his bump a little bit differently because there's too many fucking people inside the fucking cage.
Right. You got two non-participants in there. Come on.
Right. You got two. Yeah, fuck.
So oh. the hoods are coming out. You want to take it away here? We got the second blindfold match I've ever seen, and I was taking the piss when I said that was one of my top five matches when we did a special a few months ago.
Yeah.
This is a really hard concept to make work.
So, I didn't like this match at all. I was pretty checked out. And then they put the hoods on, and I went, well, now I'm interested. I don't know why.
Right.
I have no idea. Like, I didn't like the match. All of a sudden, they put these hoods on and are, you know, essentially blindfolded and can't see. And I'm like, well, now this shit should be fun.
There's a lot more story here, right? Because obviously, Bobby Roode's going to have an advantage in this kind of deal because he's got his guys, right?
Okay.
Who can help him out.
Direct him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, no, punch right.
And then the flip side should be, you know, Dustin getting the crowd to tell him where to go and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, to hell.
Right. Straight to hell. Bobby Roode, he lands a hell of a lariat, takes the referee out. Oh, man, what do you think of this? Hoods on, escape the cage. That should be the stipulation, right?
Right.
I think you might have touched on that already when we were bitching about it at the beginning. But the load, he gets involved. He throws a chair over the top into the ring. And so the ref's out at this point, so anything goes.
Kind of the load gets in. The load gets hit with the damn chair. That's not acceptable.
Yeah, the load opens the cage, and Bobby Roode is 0-for-2. He's hit the ref, and he's hit, you know, the load, but he can't seem to get Dust.
Yeah, and then was it Dust hits Roode with the chair, and then that's enough for it to end the match.
Enough said.
Hooray. And the peasants rejoice.
So you take this or you take Roberts and Martel?
Oh, Roberts and Martel. No problem.
Right.
Roberts and Martel wasn't full of a bunch of bullshit. Yeah, it was a weird match, like stip. You had the blindfold match. But you didn't have the, well, if it goes to a third fall, then it's going to become the Prince of Darkness match, right? They just came out there. They put their masks on. They had a good time. Everybody was having fun.
Then we got this thing, which is just something else.
Yeah.
Something else. Well, we get sent back to the Juggler. Happy to see him back. We got Christopher Daniels, the reigning X Division champion. Again, that X Division title belt, man.
What, you like it?
Looks like something you buy at Walmart. Not an impressive title.
You probably can buy
belt.
It at Walmart. Fuck, Detective Dougler's in the back. He's not in next to a limo, which he's probably felt out of place. But best line I've ever heard from Elix Skipper, right? The best one, bar none. Do you remember what he said?
He said something about using his outdoor voice.
He says, so up to Daniels, he says, who are you talking to in your outdoor voice? That's genius, man. I never thought about that, right? Because usually you tell people, like, use your inside voice or I'll put your ass outside, right? That's the common one. But he's like, who are you talking to in your outdoor voice? You never hear about the outdoor voice. It's always use your inside voice. He's talking about outdoor voices. I loved it. I'm going to start using it, I think.
Yeah, that's not bad. So we got Triple X, right?
Yeah.
The former Triple X.
Triple X. We're watching pornography.
Gonna be getting it on later.
Gonna be having sex on camera.
Triple X
with your outdoor voice.
So we might have a little bit of hope on the way here because TNA tells us it's not whether you win or lose this one, it's whether you get out alive. So we're gonna have an escape match. So I hear escape match, and I'm thinking, okay, great. Traditional cage match. Get the fuck out the cage and you win, right?
Yes, I agree.
We're getting a taste of the Shocker this time.
You could taste him all you want. Tanay can't fucking leave it alone that he was on a McDonald's commercial. He just can't leave it alone.
He also says he's been shocking the wrestling business now and so with the drunk capacity crowds.
So, man. I don't know about this match.
So
you,
I'm not
you take it away, but I'm just going to forewarn you. One of my notes here is I'm falling asleep. So I'm on the old spot. Man.
That's like the opposite effect that the, escape cage match is supposed to have. It's supposed to be exciting.
Well, it wasn't my very first note.
But, I don't know what the rules are exactly, but we're going to find out here. So we got Shocker, Saban, Michael Shane, and Sanjay Dutt in an escape match. Sanjay and Saban are in first with the other two guys on the outside. So you got to tag in.
You remember that weird shit that they did with the X Division match, Destination X, where it's a tag match and it's a three-way match, then it's a get the shit match?
Last time, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're doing the same thing here.
That works so well.
Yeah, it was awesome. Wasn't hard to follow at all.
I mean,
You ever feel old when you're watching these matches? And here we are like, I can't follow it. All these stipulations. What is a tag match? No, it's not a tag match. It's a triple threat match. Now it's a get the thing off the gimmick match. You ever feel old? You're just watching it going, could I just get one guy versus one guy and some wrestling holds, preferably some rest holds?
Yeah, a little bit. We're not getting any younger, I guess.
I suppose, man.
I mean, did the Shocker impress you with his shiny leather gear?
No, man. I don't like the Shocker. Mop? I think he sucks. He was my pick for worst guy of the year. Why, is he impressing you?
Yeah, that's true.
You want to take him out for some pie?
I kind of like his leathery gear. That got my attention. But we get an update. Oh. Candido has been taken away in the ambulance. It's weird getting that update, knowing he doesn't make it.
Right.
And they, of course, this is just what you do, but it sucks. TNA tries to use, he uses that to get the point across that it's, you know, these guys are in imminent danger, right?
Right.
We got one guy in the ambulance. Who's next?
Right.
So, again, you don't tag in, right?
No.
If you're in this match, do you climb out of the cage and just wait?
Well, is it against the rules?
I don't know.
If it's not against the rules, yeah, I climb right up the cage. I get on the other side of the cage. I hang out. I maybe try and get I might get the audience to try and do the public enemy, like arms back and forth, right?
Right.
I just have a good time. Yeah. Maybe try and get him to do the wave. Right. Maybe sing a little Isley Brothers.
Shout.
Right, yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. But, man, the Shocker, he connects with the facebuster, and then he does the shifty dance, stick shift-like celebration. I was a big fan of that.
Haven't
seen that. He does the stick shift.
Right. But that's not his. That's Shifty Dan Schaffner's.
I know. I was happy to see it, though. I hadn't seen it since, you know, we saw that show back in the
1995.
Yeah, that was Shifty Dan Schaffner. I think he took on Jim Brunzel, maybe.
I don't know. Might have been the burglar or the lead
rock
man.
And roll zoom off.
Right.
Good times. It's an elimination match, and when there's two guys left, the first guy to escape wins. So I think you're supposed to stay in, right?
Yeah.
So
it's elimination, then three-way? I didn't have that written down. I'm sure it is, though. It's just too much.
There are a few good spots here. We got Saban and Sanjay teaming up for a P-bomb leg drop combo. Well, Tanay talks about the great job the camera guys are doing. And points out some holes in the cage that are used for the cameras.
Yeah, we couldn't put that one together, Mike TNA.
It's just a matter of time before somebody exploits that, right? I don't know. The load already threw shit over the cage, but he could have easily just put, you know, something through those that hole, right?
Well, it was a steel chair, and I don't think the hole was big enough for a steel chair.
Well, you can get some brass knucks or...
Oh, knucks, sure. Knucks, change.
Nice stick.
Change. Yeah, he's throwing some quarters. Kendos.
You know, all that kind of stuff. Carson City sock.
Right, Carson City sock for sure. Man, you take if Load passes you a Carson City sock, you touching it?
Oh man, that could be a good take, man.
It's a loaded sock,
silver dollars.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get back to the action here. So Michael Shane, he's in there with Saban. Saban lands a huge tornado DDT, tags in the Shocker. I mean, we get a big-time combo submission that happens in the corner when Saban getting the upper hand. Then he P-bombs Sanjay into the cage and then onto the mat. He's the first guy eliminated after the Shocker lands an elbow drop. Shocker goes up top and gets caught, thrown to the mat by Saban. So Shane and Saban, they're battling on the top rope as Trinity climbs up from the outside of the cage. Then Tracy comes out to interfere. Fucks up her foot. Then the camera guy almost misses this big spot where Trinity does a moonsault onto everybody on the outside. What do you think of that?
So, not a giant Tracy guy, but that moonsault off the top of the cage, well done by her. Well done.
It was good.
Now, here's the question, though. If you're in the ring and you see, you know, a set of tits coming at you like that, don't you do everything in your power to make sure you catch her, like, safely?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Remember the Harris brother that didn't and then tossed her into the audience?
Yeah, that was on purpose, I think. Heavy D.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was a mess, man. This one, I think it landed a little bit nicer. It didn't work out for her main man, Michael Shane, but...
Nah. Yeah, Saban hits his finisher on Shane. We're down to two. At this point, the door is open. You would think one of these idiots would just race through the door.
Yeah, just get the fuck out of the cage. That's the point.
So Shocker and Saban, final two here. So there's a race to get to the floor. So Shocker and Saban, they're racing to get out of the cage. Shocker falls to the floor after getting his head rammed into the cage. When he realizes Shocker's fallen, Saban falls as well. And then the Shocker, your pick for shit guy of the year, pops up to celebrate the victory like he didn't just fall off of the fucking cage.
Yeah.
Come on.
Sell it, right?
You fell off the cage.
Yeah. How far would you, like, so say you're in that position? And you know you might have to drop off the cage, right? How far do you drop if it secures a victory?
Oh, man. Are there any stakes in this match?
No, I don't think so.
I think there's, like, if you're getting a title.
Do you go for broke?
Whatever is necessary if the title's on the line.
Yeah, if the title's on the line, sure.
We're just talking pride here, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Feel comfortable falling maybe 6 feet.
Okay, that's how much.
How about yourself?
Well, if it's to win the match, right, to go to the pay window, you said 6 feet, so I got to do better than that. I'm just thinking, like, I've fallen 10 feet before, right? Not a problem. I've fallen more than 10 feet before and jacked up my leg, kind of a problem. But I mean, if you can land it safely, like they landed on mats, right? They're not thick mats, but if it's on the line, as soon as I get over the, like, I'm not waiting for him to crawl over the cage, right? That's not going to happen.
Right.
He's not going to reach for my hair. Like, he'll have to, my hair will have to hold me up because I'll lose my hair. I don't care. Take it with you. I'll see you later. I'm dropping. F that guy. Especially because it's Shocker. That's a better question. How high would you fall from in order to make sure that Shocker doesn't win the match?
I'm guessing top of the cage to the floor is probably 15 feet. Give it a whirl, I guess.
Yeah. Man, if it makes sure that Shocker doesn't win, you can throw me out of my next Delta flight.
And TNA says this is the most violent pay-per-view of all time as we get replays of Candido's injury.
Yeah, stop showing that shit. Stop it. When I don't want to see the leg break anymore, man.
Post-production.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Have some respect.
Yeah. Okay. Like, what are they going to do next? Like, oh, remember this fucking horrific, gruesome injury? Now we'll take you back to big, sexy staph infection. Fucking knock it off, guys.
Right. Yeah, the pack is leading up to this tables match between Raven and Jeff Hardy. So Raven proposed an alliance recently, and he was shut down. I think he wanted a drug buddy.
Probably wanted a drug buddy.
So this is another stipulation on top of a stipulation match. Are we going to get just a straight cage match? We'll see.
Doesn't feel like it. I was thinking about this, and I thought maybe Jeff Hardy should wait and do like his arts and crafts after the matches. Right, or like the following day. He looks like such a, like we've said it every time now, and every time I see Jeff Hardy, I'm liking him a little bit less. Stop smearing shit all over your body, you jackass.
He's got some pink paint on him again.
I don't care what color it is. Just knock it off.
He had green a couple months ago. It's this thing, man. TNA says this is a Jeff like we've never seen before.
And that I never want to see again.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, no.
So Hardy gets his head rammed in the cage several times. And Raven follows that up with the drop hold onto a chair and a DDT. They'll usually finish a guy off, but not when we're talking about him. This just looks ridiculous.
Right? With all the tables in the ring?
Yeah, we should. Okay, so it's a tables match, and they have about 10 tables in the ring, and there's a cage.
And there's a cage, yeah.
It looks really bad.
It's dumb.
So you got to drive your guy through the table to win. That's the
right, because Raven dives through a table, and they're like, oh, no, that doesn't count.
Right.
You have to drive him through the table.
He's bleeding like a sieve, though.
Yeah, he's got some blood.
Let's get on him. So TNA tells us Raven will use something like food poisoning to get motivation for a match, which was a strange take.
Oh, man. So, fucking... So, I don't know. I'm starting to think about it, and I'm thinking I might have enjoyed Dying Days WCW more. Because at least they did, like... It was so fucking bad I could laugh at it. This is just bad on a different level. And Mike TNA does not help matters at all. At one point, he goes, how would he even come up with that move? You know what move he did?
Slam?
Raven did a suplex. And Mike TNA's like, how would he even come up with that move? Like, Mike TNA... This is unacceptable behavior from a commentator, right? Before he's like, oh, it's a release, overhead, German suplex, adding more shit. And then this is just a standard move everybody knows and is always known, a suplex. And he's like, oh, how'd he even come up with that? The creative genius of Raven on full display here. A fucking mind-boggling suplex.
But you're thinking maybe Dying WCW, you might prefer it.
I think it's just boy, that's tough.
We'll see how it goes. We'll check.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah, I don't want to say I don't want to commit to that, but at least the bad was like frustratingly, entertainingly bad. You get what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. Yeah, like you knew it was going to be bad,
right? And I had high hopes for this. And here we are. What are we? What is this? Our fifth jaunt into this one, sixth jaunt into it. And I'm like, golly, I hope they only have two more to go.
So both guys are on the top, and it would make sense if they were both trying to escape the cage, right?
Yeah,
but they're just kind of they're fucking.
There's no reason to climb
the
cage. That's not the name of the game in this match,
right? And then Raven goes for a facebuster that looks terrible. They both just kind of fall off the cage.
Oh, is that the one that looked like a stroke?
Yeah, but they landed probably 10 feet apart from each other.
Yeah, it was bad.
It looked. I blame Jeff Hardy.
So do I for most of the problems in life.
We get a twist of fate, and then we get a shot of the New York Mets. So in lieu of showing us a replay of that terrible spot, they show us the New York Mets. They're on a field trip, I guess. They're probably playing the Marlins, right?
That's could be.
That's got to be it. Or maybe they got spring training. It's April. Makes sense.
Yeah, that could be, too.
Jeff climbs up to the top. He's going for a big swanton, and Don West says, you can't be going for the swanton, so he's just as bad as TNA.
Yeah.
And Raven just barely gets out of the way.
Yeah, good job, did, Raven.
Yeah. Yeah. Once again, the match is not over because he put himself through the table. And then Raven, you got something over there?
No, I'm just thinking of how fucking stupid this all is. Right? Like, I'm so disappointed in this entire thing. Right? Every match is going to be a cage match. Yes, thank you. I'm in. And I'm excited, right? I'm horny to sit down and watch this fucking lockdown pay-per-view. Right?
Right.
And I sit down and watch it, and they fucking ruin it for me at every opportunity they possibly can. How dumb is it to have a tables match inside of a cage match?
Doesn't make any sense. It's probably the first of its kind, which is maybe what they were going for.
It's fucking dumb. It's like putting nickels inside of a burrito.
That's pretty stupid, man.
That's what I'm saying.
So at this point, so Hardy, he's got some superhuman strength because he should be out, right?
Superhuman strength? No, he doesn't. He's on drugs.
Okay. Spoiler alert. But he just went through a table, right? From the top of the cage, him and Shocker both these guys toss him off your lawn next episode.
Yeah, because they can't fucking sell.
Right. He pops up like, yeah, oh my God. And then he gets the advantage. We're talking like, 30 seconds, maybe a minute after going through the damn table. And yeah. Then he decides it's arts and crafts time and he builds a table structure. We got a 2x2 table structure. You know it's coming here. He splashes Raven through all them tables, gets the win.
And then he kicks the table and acts like a bitch again after the match.
Again?
Yeah. So do you think that he's outwardly acting like a fucking douchebag after the match because he's upset with the quality of his match?
Could be.
So here's the thing. Stop doing fucking drugs.
That's an option.
Right. Might enhance your work a little bit. Maybe it'll enhance your home life, right? Maybe your kids will talk to you. Maybe you'll get invited back to your family Christmas, you fucking doper. Knock it off!
Next up, we're going to have a strap match. We got America's Most Wanted taking on Team Canada for the tag team titles. And you're shaking your head over there.
It's not a fucking strap match. God damn it.
Not in the traditional sense at all.
Then
no.
Guess what? Then it's not a strap match, man. Fuck. Strap match. So when I tell you it's going to be a strap match, you think that two guys are strapped together, right? They're strapped right together. That's how a strap match fucking works.
They appear to be short, like more like whips or something.
Whips? I don't know if those are whips.
Or that's what you do with it, right? You whip them?
No.
A whipping?
Those were like leather. I mean, they were leather straps, right? They would have been used to strap something down. But they're small straps, and they're certainly not. This isn't a strap match. I mean, just stop with this. Stop adding bullshit to it. This sucks.
And they're battling on the outside of the cage.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what. So that was my first pissed off note I wrote down.
right? They rang the bell. Nobody's in the fucking ring. In the history of watching wrestling, the history, if you're going to have a match that isn't in a graveyard, in a fucking boiler room, in a backstage, in the staging area, if there isn't a special set area where they're going to have that match, what match has ever started, ring the bell, with people not in the fucking ring?
It's a cage match, too.
No, it's a cage strap match.
But it's not really either of those.
Exactly, man.
It's more like a capture the flag match, actually. You know, they got the flag up there.
Yeah, what's the fucking deal with the flags?
They just made this a capture the flag match.
They got the fucking USA flag on one side, the Canadian flag on the other side. They just put them up there for looks. Could have done away with that. And I think that there's probably more. I bet that there's more cowboys in Canada than there is in the States, man. They love their fucking cowboy shit up there, man. They're all about it.
They like the rodeos, you're right.
Yeah, they got the Saddle Dome. We don't got the Saddle Dome in the States. Saddle Dome ain't in Texas. They got the Astrodome, right? They like space. But Canada, they're getting stuff done out on the range, right? And we're tinkering around trying to figure out what's going on Mars. Up in Canada, they're getting their everyday shit done. Working hard. Fuck AMW. Fuck this match. Fuck TNA. Fuck you.
Oh, man. Well, I'll get into the action here.
Yeah, go for it.
So Team Canada, they got the early advantage. Advertises a strap match, but I guess it's going to be a one fall to the finish inside of the cage match.
With tags.
So the ref makes a real slow count. Petey gets up in his face, and then EY grabs that American flag and chokes Storm with it. And that's too much for the official as he hops in and breaks it up. We're going to have to start viewing this from the same comic lens as we did with the WCW.
You have to. Like, you have to. I thought, right, we would have escaped this type of stuff. We haven't. We haven't, man. It's we almost have to look. It's very comparable to the WCW stuff that we watched. And at times it's almost worse because they're advertising like, this is not a strap match or a cage match. Like, it's a strap cage match.
Right.
It's not either. Fuck you.
And to illustrate that point, so the Wildcat finally makes his way into the ring, right? And he's not strapped to anybody. So there, that tells you that it's neither of these things, you know?
Oh, it's after Alistair hits everybody with the belts and then fucking the lazy bitch Wildcat Chris Harris finally gets involved in the match. He starts clearing house, and that's another piece of TNA gold right here. He says, now the match is in the favor of AMW. It's 2 versus 2. Even though Storm is out of it. Explain that one to me now, Mike TNA. Duke, you explain this to me. The match is now in the favor of AMW, 2 versus 2. Even though Storm is out of it, how is it in the favor of AMW being 2-on-2? Furthermore, how is it Storm in their favor if Storm is out of it? Because that's back to 1 versus 2.
Was one of the Canada guys out of it too?
No, man, no.
It's probably just some nonsense. You want to hear about some more nonsense?
Fucking, I'd love to.
Got a whole bunch. So Storm, he does make a comeback. He's kind of a stud. The Storm, he's still going.
Yeah, I think he's doing some acting now, or was trying to do some acting. But yeah, he was active as of like, well, at least pre-pandemic times. I mean, that time becomes a blur, obviously, for everybody, but yeah, he was active.
I know he teamed up with who became LA Knight, mm-hmm. and I think it was Ring of Honor, one of them. It was either Ring of Honor or NWA or whatever.
Right.
He tosses Petey into the cage, and then he eats a tornado DDT.
Well, he does a cage walk tornado DDT. That looked pretty slick.
That was cool. Fortunately The cowboy had his foot on the rope. Here we are again. Meanwhile, on the outside, so they're back on the outside. The Wildcat is catapult slingshot, sending him into the cage. So there are good spots here. There are like spots that are, you know, that you don't see every day.
Oh, there's one move. I'm going to jump right to it. Sharpshooter, leg drop, elbow drop.
Elbow drop.
Combo.
Great combo.
Man, so if there was a combo that was ever like, you know, just do it and I'll blow. Sharpshooter, elbow drop? Get the fuck out of here, man. Oh my gosh. This is the only time that in watching TNA so far that I was like, wow, that's fantastic. Match should be over. Of course it's not because it sucks. But I watched that move a couple times. Like, that was very impressive. That is a kick-ass move. Some tag team out there should be using it as their finish, man. Sharpshooter elbow drop combo, amazing.
Only gets the two. Should have finished him off.
Yeah, then they throw a bunch of drugs in the ring. I'm surprised Jeff Hardy didn't run down there. Jeff's like, is that a clear bag of powder?
Yeah, Petey gets a suspicious baggie of white powder.
The doper's on his way!
Be careful with that stuff, man. Stuff can kill you.
Yeah.
So Petey ends up getting blinded by it himself. And instead, connects with the Canadian Destroyer on his own guy.
Yeah.
Man, it was good to see, but how do you... We've seen this a lot.
What a dipshit.
Right. He would think his partner would, like, yell at him or something.
Right.
Like, stop. You know what I mean?
Knock it off.
This bullshit should not be happening.
Don't do it.
It's me.
Right. Anyone else is doing a fucking word. Like, I'm between your legs.
Down.
Unhand me. Don't do this on your friend.
Oh, man. So after that, poor blind Petey gets the death sentence from AMW, and they win and retain the titles. Pretty bad mistake there.
Yeah.
Guy with the damn destroyer.
It's...
And I put, at least when Disco did this, he wasn't facing the guy. Right?
Oh, Disco got him. You're going behind. Back to that Orndorff match?
Disco fucking did it twice.
Fucking sweet pole to go to.
I'm pretty sure he did it earlier this season as well.
Of course, that's because he sucks. Match. Yeah.
Yeah, you think you know what your partner feels like. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's me down here.
Next up, we got Triple X Collide.
Oh, yeah. Triple X.
The X Division title. Maybe we'll have a winner here. We'll see. I mean, these guys go way back. Triple X. Early on, Skipper, he goes for a snapmare, and then Daniels does a front flip out of it. It looks great. Love the creative action in the X Division.
Yeah, they did some really good work, like wrestling in this match. Like the back and forth, they did a really good job showing, like, hey, yeah, playing up the story. Like these guys used to be tag team partners. They know what each other's going to do next. And Daniels and Elix did such a fucking phenomenal job working through spots in the opening parts of this match. It was awesome. And then it ended up being pretty much a Daniels work the arm situation once it kind of slowed down a little bit. So there was a funny goddamn spot there where he throws him off the ropes and Daniels jumps up to leapfrog him, but Elix doesn't follow through. Finally, he goes, jump through my legs.
Neither guy wants to go down. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Skipper, it's a headstand. He does a headstand into a leg drop on the turnbuckle. Look weird, but it was cool.
Yeah, it works.
Then we get a Fallen Angel, Let's Go Primetime back and forth chant.
Yeah.
So far, this is the best one. We'll see if they can screw it up. Do you think this would be a cool event to see in person, or do you think it'd be shitty because of the obstructed view?
This one in particular?
I mean, any sort of, you know, event where every match is in a cage.
No, I think it would be fun to go to. An event where all the matches were in a cage, but I don't want to go to this one.
Right. Yeah, actually, if you were in like a bigger arena and had like seats up in the air, you'd have a pretty good vantage point of what was going on. But
yeah, I mean, I've seen cage matches live.
Yeah, I went to Elimination Chamber. I was way up in the air.
Yeah,
but yeah, you can't see everything, you know.
No, of course not.
Daniels, he is the king of the armbar, man. Does that Northern Lights suplex into the armbar? Never seen that combo before.
Yeah, he's a super talented guy.
So apparently they had a countdown recently, and TNA tells us that spot where, you know, the spot where Elix does the Hurricane Rana off the top of the cage.
Cage walk, yeah.
Yeah, that was voted the number one moment. TNA history.
Well, it makes sense.
Recent thing. All right. It can't be a very long list at this point, right? Somebody's like 2-3 years old.
Yeah, that's also like pretty fair.
Moments ever.
Yeah.
So after getting his ass kicked and getting his arm worked over for about 10 minutes, Skipper makes a comeback.
He does a matrix.
Right.
To get out of the way of the moonsault by Daniels. That's pretty good. Eventually, they're working to Elix doing a cage walk spot again, but Daniels just like jumps the fuck out of the way. He's like, he's out of there. Ain't gonna happen.
Smart guy.
Daniels jumps. Or not Daniels, Elix. Elix jumps off the top of the cage. And it doesn't look like Daniels or the referee are aware that he's about to do that. Right?
Right.
That's a bad move, man. Bad shit can happen if people don't know what's coming. So he jumps off, and I went, well, what the fuck is that? Don't do that. Make sure they know. Like, they got to catch you if they got to catch you. Like, he takes one, like, Daniels or the ref take one step one way or the other. It could be fucking bad for all three of them. So that was ugly as hell. And then the other problem with it is that the referee wasn't allowed to fucking sell it because Skipper then jumped on top of Daniels, and the referee jumps over to count the 1-2-3 right away.
Right.
So all of a sudden, the ref's got fucking powers after taking Elix from the top. Like, no, bad, bad.
Yeah, that was my biggest complaint was, how the hell is the ref bouncing, coming, you know, right up after hitting a splash from the top of the cage?
Yeah. And then we get Daniels goes for the wings. It gets countered into the death sentence. It gets countered into the wings. And finally, Daniels wins. Not a bad match. Like, there was parts of it were pretty decent, but kind of a, like, knowing who they are and what their abilities are, I could have watched them go back and forth, like how they opened it. You know what I mean? Counter and counter and counter and counter and like just, you know, kind of a Guerrero Benoit Guerrero Malenko style match. You know what I mean? Right. Like just kind of trading back and forth. Altogether, not a bad match. Probably the most enjoyable one on the card thus far. And I even like the finish, man. It's maybe the only finish that I like. Because just the wings and then the counter and then the counter, like that worked for me.
Yeah, this match of the night so far. It's not even close, really.
No.
We're set to the back, and the Dream tells us that this has been the most exciting pay-per-view ever, and it's only going to get hotter.
Yeah, in the history of the business.
He's a good salesman, Dusty.
And then number three is the Outlaw. And then he says, Tracy, Trinity, bring your ass back here. For what? They're
what
not like,
think?
They're. Oh. You think he's going American cream on him?
Maybe, man.
It was just so weird because they weren't shown with him. It's like,
right.
Bring your ass back here. That's a bad Dusty, but I did it either way. Let the bimbos go do their bimbo shit.
They had some secretary duties to take care of, I guess.
I guess there's a t-shirt for you, bimbo shit.
could be a ton of different things, really.
All right, man. Well, the time has come here. We got a Lethal Lockdown match happening. This could be really good or it could be really bad. We'll see. It's essentially a War Games, right?
It's a takeoff of War Games match, yeah.
So we get a package getting us up to speed. Of course, it's one ring, but it's another Dusty match, you know, so it makes sense. You think this is maybe Dusty just running wild with his creativity on this card?
Boy. Because I'd like to believe that he wouldn't muddy the waters that much.
I looked into it, and I thought, you know, Rusey's got to be behind some of this, but Rusey was actually out of the picture at this point, so it's Dusty and Double J.
All right.
But he'll be coming back, though, so hold on to your hats.
Oh, boy, I can't wait, you piece of shit.
So we got Team Nash taking on Team Jarrett. So Kevin Nash had that boo-boo earlier, so his team might be a man down.
Yeah, he had a boo-boo.
Waltman out in that. You think he's been wearing the same clothes for the past few months?
I think he has. Well, dude, it's like, it is. It's a fucking, like, get rid of the shirt, man. Like, he's wearing this, it looks like, I don't know if it's Sunday's Best or if it's the I'm going for a porn audition shirt, but it's not a good look, especially for a wrestling match.
Not one piece of wrestling gear on him.
And then, again, the bell rings and nobody's in to start the match. Nobody's in the fucking ring again.
Spills into the crowd. Yeah. TNA says that weapons are not only legal, they're encouraged.
Yeah, we encourage weapons. Shut up, Mike TNA. Did you laugh when they worked their way back to the fucking announce table? Well, first of all, they do crowd work, yes, right? They do crowd work, and they're coming back down the steps, and Jeff Jarrett's still wearing his NWA TNA championship belt around his waist. That was fucking awesome. He comes walking down. I was like, oh, shit, that's right. He's still wearing the belt. He slams the belt down, and fucking Pac gets Jarrett up on it, and he, like, picks him up. And like, okay, we're going to have a move on the announce table, right? Which I don't think we've had much announce table action through TNA so far. No. It's like, well, this should be interesting. But he doesn't give him a move like you would think, like a pile driver or a P-bomb or anything like that. He does a fucking spin kick.
Yes,
he does. Move you could do on the ground. It doesn't change. He does a fucking spin kick.
There might be some dope floating around backstage. Pac's, his shirt was bothering me the whole time. It's like, take the thing off, man.
Get rid of it, yeah.
It's hindering you here.
Now, I could see if he took it off to choke a guy with it.
Right.
That'll work. Yeah. But just to wear it throughout the match, it looks strange.
They finally get into the ring. Double J's taking a lot of blows to the face.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Whether it be on the side of the cage or the trash can or the chair, they got it all there. I'm sure he'll be bleeding soon. He's a bleeder, Double J, team player. Pac goes for the Bronco Buster. Busts his nuts instead when Jared moves. Pac looks a little off to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably, you know, lots of people in turbulent times in their lives in the company at this point, I think.
Yeah, I think 05 was not a solid year.
I say that because he was so good. Like, yeah. You notice when he's off.
Yes. Yeah, that's one thing that with him, like, throughout his career, you can almost always tell when, like, something's amiss, right?
Yeah.
Like, maybe he had too much the night before or too much the morning after, whatever it is. Like, you just know when he's off, and it's only because he is so fucking good.
Right.
Like I don't know how many wrestlers I've heard in interviews saying that working with him is a night off because he's so talented. And here he is, it doesn't look right. Might be the shirt.
Yeah, it could be. Could be the shirt. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, like, you know, those when we got treated to Malenko and Guerrero and those guys back in the cruiserweight division. You know, him and Hitman on Raw.
Yeah,
was one of the best matches of that era. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So next up, we got Billy Gunn, the former. What is he now? He's the Outlaw, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Because I don't like the Outlaw. So if he showed up, what do you think if he came, he was the ass outlaw? Or the outlaw of ass?
He wore chaps?
Or the ass bandit?
Oh, the ass bandit. That'd be great.
Yeah, just think about different ways to, you know, spice him up a little bit.
Right. Well, today's the outlaw. So it's a 2-minute countdown for each guy now. And Team Jarrett has the advantage. Waltman does hold his own for a little bit. It's a huge drop kick to Double J. But it was a matter of time before the numbers game catches up to him. That's kind of how it goes with these types of matches. It's usually always the bad guy gets the advantage first.
Generally, yeah.
Just, you know, helps, I guess, the flow of the match.
I mean, it's kind of a cheap move because it's just that helps get the sympathy on the face.
Right,
just being outnumbered and being outnumbered until the final guy comes out. And
Yeah.
What do you think about next DDP? Up. Yeah. DDP coming out with a kendo stick, which is a weird. Stick. That's a weird visual. Like DDP and a kendo stick. I don't know why. It seemed off. I didn't like it. But he swings it pretty good, man. He broke that kendo stick real quick.
Right. He had it like behind him, and then he like whipped it out like he was a ninja.
You talking to me? DDP's a ninja?
Could be. He gets
King
in there.
King of the Mountain.
So everybody's got a weapon. So this has got to please you because this is essentially hardcore match right now.
This does not please me. I'm getting no pleasure. It's not even moving at this point. Right? It's limp. All right.
Ass goes for the trash can lid attack, and he eats a huge boot from Paige. Goes for the cutter, and he takes a mule kick. Next up, we get Alpha, who is now a heel, which I think was a bad move.
You know, I thought that too, but he comes down with the bat, which I don't care for. I just don't like the bat. But his wraps are yellow, and he's wearing like a cutoff sleeve shirt. He kind of looks like a badass.
Yeah, he's a star, really.
Yeah.
He stands out because he's the only one of these guys that you didn't see before.
Right.
You know, everybody else is a WCW or WWF guy.
Right.
So yeah, I'm not sure what happened to him, but he should have probably been a bigger star than he became. I don't know if it's a flash in the pan type of situation or what happened there. But
when he left TNA, he went to WWE and he went to WWE ECW and became Marcus Corvon.
All right.
Yeah.
Did he still pounce?
He pounced. It was a little bit different because it was, you know, the four sides, but yeah, he pounced. Anyways, did you think he looked bad? I don't know. I thought he looked like a badass.
He does look like a badass.
Like those, he had like yellow wraps. That looked cool.
Yeah, he's got the chain, got the ball bat.
Yeah.
Looking like he's up to no good.
That's yeah, and sure. Then we get a We Want Sting chant.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah, like when all the shit was in the van, we're waiting for the next guy to come down. We want Sting. And I was like, you know, I don't. I don't want him.
Don't want him, huh?
No, did you?
I think we might get him. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, at this point, I was wrong. I don't need him right now. It's fine without.
I don't think he's going to, like, save the day.
No. Nah.
So this is like Team Nash versus Team Jarrett, but Nash isn't here.
Right. He's crying like a little bitch in the back.
Right. So Team Jarrett's alliance is still kind of shrouded in mystery here. He's got the Outlaws insurance policy. Now he's got Monty. He got the commanding advantage as we wait for the final guy. And it's the Road Dog.
He comes out and he hits the fucking cameraman. He takes a fuck. It was a trash can or the trash can lid, whatever. I think it was a trash can. And he hits the cameraman, which to me says, Dog's, he's not playing, right? He's not here for fun. He's here for ass kicking.
He clobbers everybody once he gets in the ring, including the ref, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty badass.
He's in. I mean, we got the New Age Outlaws facing off, and then you know
he doesn't hit him.
No, he doesn't. X-Pac slides in there, hits an X-Factor on Mr. Ass, and a Bronco Buster on Double J as Tanay talks about BG having sexy thoughts.
Having sexy thoughts.
I mean, yeah, you got... He used to be Double J's roadie.
Yep.
And he used to be the tag team champion of the world.
Right. You would think, logically, his allegiance would lay with... You know, the Ass Bandit and Double J.
Right. You would think he would fit right in there.
Yeah. Makes sense. And he doesn't
pull the trigger, but we get the cutter by DDP. We get a double pounce by Monty.
That was nice. He's like the pounces in this one.
Monty's the man.
So you get all this crazy shit, right? Everything's happening. Everything's wild. You get cutters. You get the double pounce.
And then... Pac gets a victory roll on Monty Brown for the victory. A little anticlimactic.
Yeah, that was a bad finish. Yeah, he goes for it, and there's some sort of miscommunication. They fuck it up, and then they do it again, and Waltman gets the win.
Yeah. Strange, because I wouldn't have thought, a couple of things, I wouldn't have thought, one, that Pac would have gotten the pin, right? And I didn't think that the match would finish in a victory roll. So I awarded them some points for surprising me. But in a match like this, right, lethal lockdown, you want a, you know, a big ending, right? A big finish. This is like a blow-off style match, and you're not getting that at all. And after the match, Road Dogg and Ass Bandit just kind of come eye-to-eye, and TNA's like, oh, they're eye-to-eye. It's like, all right. Settle down, Mike. Is there another term you can use for that?
We're sent back to what looks like a bloody Monty Brown for a couple seconds. Which is strange. They get a package bringing us up to speed with our main event. We got the phenomenal AJ Styles taking on the monster Abyss for a shot at the title. What do you think of putting this one on last?
I wouldn't have.
Like, just, I mean, when you're looking at the layout of the card, I wouldn't have put this match on last. This match would have gone on prior to Lethal Lockdown. Right? Because Lethal Lockdown, that's a big match, a lot of moving parts, a lot of shit going on. But knowing how, like, every match has been a little disappointing, you know, for the most part, outside of Elix and Daniels, I'm okay with it because this match... This was an entertaining one.
In hindsight, it was the right call.
Yeah.
Because this almost like saves the show. But it is strange to have a number one contenders match as the main event. And just that whole lethal lockdown thing. So Team Nash wins. I don't know what that means because Nash isn't even out there to,
right.
You know, whatever. I guess we'll see what happens next time. So the winner of this is presumably going to take on Double J for that title. And AJ Styles, he's out first. Then an Abyss comes down to the aisle. He's greeted with a somersault flip splash over the top to the outside. Wasted no time.
That was awesome. Yeah. It caught me off guard.
The little hole in the cage. It's amazing.
I have the fucking, like, I have this on DVD, right? It's so old, it comes on two DVDs, right? And I've watched it countless times, but when I was watching it, he came flying out the cage. I completely forgot about it, and I mean, instantly I was like, oh shit, here we go. Interested, right? Brought me in. The only problem is that right after that, I was like, are we going to start another fucking match with nobody inside the ring?
But we got some phenomenal action out there. I'm giving him a pass. He slides under the fucking guardrail.
Yes! Yes! He slides under the guardrail and then jumps up onto the guardrail and hits a fucking a flying man. Oh, AJ Styles. Man, you would bone him, wouldn't you?
He's a married man. It'd feel wrong.
Okay, that makes sense.
So they're out in the crowd. AJ jumps over a few rows of people on a platform and performs a Superman punch.
Oh man, that's a phenomenal forearm.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah, because Abyss Irish whips him and he goes onto the steel steps. He goes from a steel steps and off a steel steps. He flies into the crowd. He turns around. Phenomenal forearm.
That Oklahoma making a return?
I don't know who that was. It's not Oklahoma.
But this is great stuff, though. Like, there's so little margin for error on his stuff. It's amazing. You know, he's jumping over people.
Right.
For one. And then that first spot, he jumped through this little opening in the cage and did a fucking somersault.
And then he slid underneath the guardrail. The guy's unstoppable.
Before they even get in the cage.
Yeah, like, he talked about the margin of error, though. He did. There was an error. At one point, he goes running, and he goes for like a dive move, and Abyss moves. He just flies into the crowd.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it made me laugh so hard. I was like, where'd he go?
They pedal up the stairs into the stands. Abyss chokeslams him into a cage atop the impact zone before turning around and heading back to the staging area. You get a Let's Go AJ chant, and Abyss covers his ears, throws a mini tantrum. He was a very good heel.
Abyss?
Abyss, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I imagine these guys probably feud throughout most of, you know, TNA's run for the next decade or so. But as far as, like, homegrown guys, I mean, AJ made a name for himself here, so I guess you could put him in the X Division guys in there. But outside of the X Division guys, I think Monty Brown and Abyss, those are kind of their original guys.
That Eric Young.
They're getting the job done. Eric Young.
Yeah.
Right. Man, are they ever going to get into the ring is the question here. And they do.
Good. I was anticipating that.
I mean, well, AJ attempts to get in there, and Abyss slams the door on him a few times. Looks wicked.
Yeah.
He does that bit where he takes the door, and then his head slams on the mat on the outside.
Oh, that was wicked. Yeah. That was real bad, man. He took that like a champ, too.
AJ gets busted open, and then Abyss grabs the bag of tacks, and they finally entered the ring. I didn't pay attention to how long that was, but it had to be 5 minutes.
It was a fair amount of time. I did think it was funny, though, when AJ gets into the ring, and then Abyss is like, oh, can't forget my chain. He throws the chain in, and he turns back around. He's like, oh, yeah, that's right, and my tacks. It's like he was leaving for a long road trip. It's like, oh, did you remember to get this? Yep, got it. Put it in there.
Man, we'll get to this more at the end, but like, I got to get this idea out before I forget about it. So the whole purpose of this pay-per-view, TNA Lockdown, is to keep the guys in the ring. It's not working.
I know, man. You
know? I know. Like, this action is unbelievable on the outside, but the thing is, you're supposed to be inside the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. So, I don't disagree.
But, like I said, I'm sure we'll probably bitch about that some more at the tail end here. But they're finally in there. Hell of a big boot by Abyss. If you're a big man, you kind of got to have a good big boot.
Yeah, if you're a big man, having a solid big boot's very important.
And Abyss, he wraps that chain around the top turnbuckle. Another spot I haven't seen before. Styles gets his face rammed into it. Takes a big gorilla press slam into the cage. Just bleeding buckets.
Yeah, he bleeds pretty good.
That mat is filthy.
Oh, yeah.
You got several different guys' blood. You got whatever the fuck Jeff Hardy was, you know, the paint from him. You got that mystery powder. Just a mess up there.
It's a complete mess.
So Abyss goes for another press slam, and we know what that means. You don't go for the same big move twice. So it gets reversed into a DDT on the chain.
Solid counter.
Phenomenal counter.
Oh, good call.
So AJ comes back. He goes for something out of the corner, and it looks like a botch. I'm not sure what he was going for there, but.
Oh, I think he was going for that. He does that moonsault reverse DDT combo.
Right.
Where he flips and grabs him. I think that's what he was going for, and I don't know whose miscalculation it was. I'm guessing it kind of has to be Abyss, because you have to be in the right spot to catch. So, but either way, I mean, I liked that they just moved on from it. They didn't like reset and try and do it again. It was just kind of one of those like, oh, fucked up, moving on. And I appreciate that. Like, it sucks when you see a move botched. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll just work to the same exact spot again and try it again. Like, I hate it. It looks way too fucking choreographed, right? There's still supposed to be some type of competitiveness in the match.
That's another one of my complaints here. That's thinking on your feet. You got to be able to think on your feet. And these guys do that. But we've seen on a few occasions prior to this where we're sticking with the plan, even though it looks like shit.
Right.
You know.
Yep.
Abyss, he nails that black hole slam, and I thought that might be it. But Styles kicks out. Time for the bag of tacks, I think.
Got to get the tacks, man.
Goes for another black hole slam. He didn't learn his lesson from the gorilla press slam, obviously. And then he goes for a P-bomb. He doesn't get either of them. Instead, he takes a Styles Clash.
Well, it's not a Styles Clash.
Yeah, am I TNA mistaken?
It's not a Styles Clash. And well, I even wrote
what
down.
What are you doing then?
I wrote it down. Close to a Styles Clash, not a Styles Clash. So the Styles Clash, you pick him up, right? P-bomb lift or pile driver lift, however you want to do it. And then he steps over his arms, right? Each of the arms.
Oh, that he missed that part.
And then you go forward, right? So it's similar, but it's certainly not a Styles Clash.
We get some holy shits and some this is awesome chants. The Styles climbs to the top of the cage. Abyss grabs the ref and throws him into the cage, knocking Styles off his perch.
Not a bad. That ain't bad.
Very nice.
That's creative. You know. Fuck the official. Like you've been wanting to do all night. Abyss just tosses the referee into the cage. That was a smart move.
Abyss goes for the trusty chain, climbs after Styles. Again, if we're trying to escape the cage, this makes sense.
Right.
He chokes Styles with the.
With the chain, he's hanging the chain. Him from the house. That was pretty gnarly.
And then he throws it down to the mat and then goes for a claw or something like that. AJ bites his hand, throws him off the top in a sunset flip P-bomb into the tacks for the three count.
Yeah. Good match.
Yeah.
Fun to watch. Like that was probably the It's probably the best match that we've seen.
It's right up there.
You know, I mean, I'm talking about this run of TNA episodes. Like,
right.
It's like, even though I hated that the match started on the outside and it's a cage match, what they did on the outside made it worth it. Did a lot of very creative, very, very compelling spots. When they finally made it to the inside, I mean, I didn't care for the chain and the tacks. But they came in spots where they needed to. They weren't necessarily overused. The finish I thought was creative. I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed it. Watching more and more Jeff Hardy, how I'm hating Jeff Hardy more and more. Exact opposite with AJ Styles. And I've always been a huge AJ Styles guy. You know that about me. I've always loved AJ Styles.
Oh, yeah.
But watching him now and rewatching this TNA stuff, like AJ Styles was the reason to tune into TNA at this time. Like he, even though he's, you know, he, a lot of high flying stuff, a lot of fast paced stuff, but he was always still a good wrestler, right? He still had good wrestling holds, knew when to take it down a little bit, knew when to amp it up a little bit. He is 100% phenomenal. Like that's not just a moniker.
It's true, yeah. The only thing that would rival this for Match of the Year so far would be another match that he was involved in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's to a fault with how creative he gets. For example, the whatever the fuck he does
when he's hanging from the ropes and then went for the moonsault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just trying a little too hard. But I mean, when he pulls this shit off, it looks amazing. You know,
yeah.
there was really only one miss that I caught, but yeah, definitely saved this show. I think between this and that, you know, Triple X.
Triple X.
And there was some, I don't really know what to think of that Lethal Lockdown match. A lot of plunder in that one.
Yeah.
But what do you think, man?
All in all, super disappointing pay-per-view. And I, like I said, I have this DVD. It came on a two DVD set. And it's like, I remember, I guess, liking portions of it and now watching it. And it's been, you know, this almost what? Boy, how long ago was this? 19 years ago? 18 years ago? Something like that? Yeah. In that range?
Yeah.
Watching it now, I just didn't have the same enjoyment of it. Really loved the AJ Abyss match. Thought that was very well worked. The Elix and Daniels match, damn fine match. Every other match on this card, stop it with the bullshit. They're over-seasoning, man. They're over-seasoning their wrestling, right? You put a little bit of seasoning in, right? Bring out the flavors of wrestling. Over-season it, you fucking wreck everything. They've over-seasoned wrestling.
Yeah, none of these were a straight cage match.
No.
You had, what, 8 chances here to just have a straight cage match. And they had to throw... Yeah, first match was a tag team match. Second match, you know, you had your Prince of Darkness. We had the tables, and then we had that, you know, the Shocker in the escape match.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of bullshit. I mean, there's always some good action when AMW and Team Canada collide. They're good, you know.
Yeah.
But I see what you mean, though, how the, you know, you put too much seasoning and it don't taste good.
Right.
And that's what we've been getting here the past couple shows, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the strength of the main event and, you know, having another match or two that I didn't mind puts this one above the last one that we did. You know, it's not the worst show.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get that, even though I hated the like, I love the concept, hated the carryout.
It should have been the best by a mile.
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm with you. But are you looking forward to our next event? Do you know what it is?
What haven't we done yet? Sacrifice?
It's TNA. Hard Justice.
Oh, yeah?
If there was ever a pay-per-view name that we should have covered, it's Hard Justice.
Hard Justice. Oh,
yeah, yeah, man. You can give your lady a little Hard Justice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Might be going back for round 2.
Oh, boy.
So what do we got in store for Hard Justice?
Take it easy, Marshall.
I'm the marshal of this here town, and I'm serving out hard justice door to door with my dick.
Hard Justice. I hope they have a guy with the voicemail opening this up, and it's just he's just talking about boner jokes the entire time. That'd be great. What a weird name for a pay-per-view. Hard Justice.
Hard Justice.
Hard Justice. I'm the marshal of this here town. Watch me ride my steed to your door. If you know I'm there, get ready for fucking.
Hard Justice.
Hard Justice. Hard Justice. Oh, yeah. That's what we do in this town.
So what do we got to look forward to?
We here? Fuck you for the law. All right. Anyways, that'll be around for a while. On Hard Justice in this here town. We got a tag team match. Looks like Apollo and Siaki are teaming up again. They're taking on Team Canada. Mixed tag match. Michael Shane and Trinity are taking on Chris Sabin and Tracy. So in a match I'm not sure what the fuck is going to happen in a Clockwork Orange House of Fun match.
Jeez. House of Fun?
Clockwork Orange, House of Fun. Sean Waltman's taking on Raven. Got a tag team match with Monty Brown and the Outlaw taking on Ron Killings and Diamond Dallas Page. Tag team match for the NWA World Tag Team Championship. AMW's taking on the Naturals. X Division match, we got Shocker and Daniels. 20-man gauntlet for the gold to determine the number one contender for the NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
Are these guys never getting shots?
I don't know, man. It's a 20-man gauntlet for the gold.
Well, that'll be good. But, I mean, didn't Abyss just get a shot?
Yeah.
Wonder what happened to that.
We still don't know. At this point, we don't know. And then the main event is obviously Jeff Jarrett and AJ Styles for the NWA World Heavyweight title with Tito Ortiz as a special guest referee.
Yeah, I was liking what you were saying there.
Were
you? And then you said Tito Ortiz, and I'm not sure.
Right. Everything was sounding pretty good, and then you said Tito Ortiz.
That's a pretty good sounding card, actually. I'm kind of looking forward to it.
A little heavy on the tag matches. I love tag team wrestling, but you really only need one or two on a card. And they have two tag matches plus the mixed tag match, so three tag matches. Part of me is intrigued by this Clockwork Orange match, but then part of me doesn't want anything to do with it. The only thing I will say is you heard the sound of this card, right? And you're like, yeah, that sounds like a pretty decent card. You never heard me say Jeff Hardy's name. So,
right.
Yeah.
I expected him to be in that Clockwork Orange, and I was glad to hear you say that two good wrestlers are in there instead.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Fun.
Let's hope that they're in good shape.
Good call. Good call. That's fair.
Well, thanks for joining us. You're a freaking roll here. Hope you've enjoyed the show. I'm Duke Bags.
I'm the Marshal, sliding one in there for justice.
Slide one in there.
Slide one in there. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.